Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free line is open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening. Good to be with you tonight. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to have a program, to be able to talk with people, and be able to encourage people and point people to Christ. Pray you use us for your glory tonight. Lord, bless the program. And again, just pray that we could be a help to somebody this evening. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We're located right almost exactly midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, and if you're in northeastern Ohio or visiting northeastern Ohio, we sure invite you to visit us sometime, and you can find out more about us, more about our program, more about the church. You can link to our church website and all if you just go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And also have a number of other things located on that page. You can listen to past programs there. I try to get a few comments about some things from time to time on there. There's some background information on me and some various things there, some articles and things that I've written in the past. And so I encourage you to check that out. That's livewithpastoral.com. There's also a link there to our Facebook page, and you can find us on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al. If you just go to facebook.com/ Live with Pastor Al, and you can find us there as well. And so I encourage you to check that out. I try to keep a number of articles there, you know, as I find things on the web, different articles, things I'm reading, things that I'm going over. Sometimes it's some things that I'm researching for stuff at our church services, or sometimes it's just something looking for some things about what to talk about on the radio program or just to follow in current events. I like to follow what's happening in the world, and so I'll link some of those on there. And I try not to link too many things, but at the same time, I do try to link a number of things, especially some things that hopefully would be a help, would be a benefit, maybe help people think about things that are happening in the world around us. And so I encourage you to check that out. In fact, got one right now that I have linked to over in Ireland. There's a pastor, and yes, I know this is in Ireland. I know they do not have the constitution that we have with the First Amendment rights and to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and all. But a 75-year-old Irish preacher was subjected to a police probe recently because he condemned Islam in a Sunday sermon. And basically, he said, "The God we worship and serve this evening is not Allah. The Muslim God Allah is a heathen deity. Allah is a cruel deity. Allah is a demon deity." And he went on to, I think this is in Belfast where this took place, Northern Ireland. And Northern Ireland Police Service investigated Pastor McConnell for allegations of a hate crime. And I found this interesting. This is one of the reasons I mentioned this, is none of the things that he said were, if you study Islam, particularly untrue. Maybe the way that he said it might not have been as temperate or as some people might have liked, but you know, keep in mind, this guy suffering from a police probe, having said these things on the wake of the terror attacks in Britain, where the young people were killed up in Manchester, and then, of course, the two attacks on the tower, the one on the Tower Bridge and the one previously to that on the bridge over top of the Thames there by Parliament. Both bridges that I've been across many times when I was stationed in England when I was in the Air Force. And so very familiar with those areas from obviously a couple of decades ago, back in the 1980s. But when he was saying about Islam and talking about Islam in the wake of these terror attacks, he's being investigated by the police for possible hate crime, and yet we have these Islamic sheikhs, imams coming into Britain who are saying some of the most disgusting, vile, hateful things about non-Muslims and threatening to kill them and to slaughter non-Muslims in various ways and claiming that Britain would be conquered by Islam in not too many years from now. And yet they're okay. They're allowed to do that. In fact, I find it kind of ironic that they're allowed to come into Britain and say these things when some other people, if you're familiar with Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch, you can find them online, jihadwatch.com, and others are not allowed into Britain because they're guilty of hate speech. And it's just, we be careful. We need to see what's going on there because some of the things that are happening there are going to come here. And so we need to be aware of that. But ultimately, we need to pray about these things. And I think that was part of what Pastor McConnell was trying to say is that we need to know what the enemy is so that we can reach them with the gospel. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other way, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's nobody other than Jesus Christ who was able to say and could legitimately say, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way of salvation. And so we need to pray for people. Not everybody that's hoodwinked and under the spell of Islam is going to go out and cut people's heads off, but they're all victimized in the sense that they're believing a lie, a false gospel, and they need to find salvation in Jesus Christ and be delivered from their eternal fate in the lake of fire that awaits them without Christ. So that's what I want to try to emphasize with that. And, of course, the devil would like to shut that message down and prevent people from criticizing Islam and warning that it's a false religion, because the devil's using it quite effectively to condemn many people out into a Christless eternity. Well, we're going to get to our phone lines here in just a moment. Also, reminder that we have not only the program here on Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight, we're also on Friday nights from 1:30 or Friday afternoons from 1:30 till 2 in the afternoon here on our home station, AM 1220, The Word, here out of Independence, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And many people are not able to get that at that time or listen to that at that time. You can find that on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, as well as our Sunday night programs there as well. So let me encourage you to check us out, livewithpastoral.com. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. We've got Grace on with us tonight. And Grace, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for calling.
I have a question about this investigation that's going on. Is they trying to investigate the president because he fired Mr. Comey, who was the director of the FBI?
Right.
Is that the Democrats' way of trying to get back at him and or find a reason for impeaching him? I don't get it, because I feel that his being elected was a miracle.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel talks about God raising up leaders, government leaders, princes, and putting them down. And I agree with you, Grace, that I think it's a miracle. But think about it this way. If you remember on election eve, I remember I work the poles in, you know, my hometown, and I was working the poles in our town is generally predominantly Republican, and Donald Trump was carrying there, but I was concerned about Akron, our county seat, and some of the areas around there, and then up in Cleveland and some of those areas, and worrying about whether Ohio would go for Trump or Hillary. And, you know, that evening, pretty much everybody, certainly Hillary Clinton, thought she had it in the bag. I think most of the Republicans thought she was going to win. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump thought she was going to win. And it is interesting that that evening, as the poll numbers started to come in, I'm thinking it was about 8 o'clock Eastern time over in Israel, in Jerusalem, there was an international group gathered for prayer, and at about 8 o'clock, they had some Americans, they brought them up on the platform, and they said, we're going to pray for the American presidential election. And there was also some prayer meetings that started online and on Christian television program, I believe it was, and in some different places at that about that similar time. And shortly after that, the poll numbers began changing, and by 9 o'clock, of course, they canceled the fireworks. And so I believe those on the left and the Democrats believe that they were robbed. Well, yeah, they thought they were going to win. I think the Russians thought that Hillary was going to win. You know, if Hillary had won, it would have been good for them. She was bought and paid for by the Russians. And I do think that they thought that even if Trump, by some miracle, should win, he was not going to be very effective as president, and they could still control him. So they thought it was a win-win either way. Of course, then when President Trump actually took office and began doing things, he's proved to be much more effective than what the media lets on. And I think the Russians perceive him as a threat. And I think they have been moving to try and keep some of this stuff going because they want America tied up in knots worrying about this nonsense rather than becoming stronger economically, militarily, industrially, and beginning to take a bigger role and a greater impact on the world scene. The Democrats, of course, like the useful idiots of the Cold War era, if you remember the term from the Cold War, that was the term that the Soviets, the communist Russia, called those in the West who furthered their cause, often ignorantly. They called them useful idiots. It's a historical term. You can look it up. And I think the media and the Democrats are kind of the useful idiots for Russia today. And of course, they feel robbed, and they don't want Trump to be effective. They want him to fail, and in the hopes that they'll take back the Congress here in 2 years, and then they can start impeachment against him. And of course, you can be impeached like President Bill Clinton was in the 1990s, but impeachment doesn't remove you from office. But again, it ties up a lot of government resources and keeps us from doing what we should be doing. And then, of course, if they can get the Senate as well, the Senate is, I believe, who removes somebody from the office of president after they've been impeached in the House. And then, of course, that would elevate Mike Pence, the vice president, to the office of president. And I have a feeling they would immediately start on him, if not sooner, and trying to destroy him, because the goal is that in 2000 oh, let's see, what would it be, 2016? They're not 2016, 2020. They hope to elect, I don't know, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, I'm not sure who they want to run, but they're hoping to take that back. They look at Donald Trump as having interrupted the process that they were pushing with Barack Obama to fundamentally change America from a free capitalistic society to a managed sort of fascist socialist society. And so they're doing that. But see, here's the other thing that's going on. We're talking about the secular side of this. On the spiritual side of this, the devil also has a stake in keeping these things going on, because America can be and has been in the past a force for good in the world, and has been a beacon of freedom. And a lot of Christians in America have been able to send money and help others to go into various parts of the world to spread the gospel. And if the devil can put America in turmoil, keep jobs down, unemployment high, and wages down, and all of that, he can try to hamstring the America's Christians and keep them from doing the work that they need to be doing in furthering the gospel. And certainly with the left in power, the restrictions on religious free speech was gradually growing tighter and tighter. I started the program with the example of the Irish pastor in Northern Ireland being investigated by the police for hate speech, for talking about the Muslims in wake of terror attacks in Britain. And, you know, there's movements that even in this country where people should not be allowed to criticize Islam and not be allowed to criticize the left. There's even calls that it should be illegal to criticize global warming, which is the biggest farce that there is. As an aside, the people promoting global warming a few decades ago promoted the coming ice age. That didn't happen, so they switched to global warming. And the whole thing was the control and money and all that. But what I'm getting at is the devil's got a stake in this, because if he can neutralize America's effectiveness, he can also neutralize the effectiveness of America's Christians to make a difference in the world around us. And he's wanted to destroy America from the very beginning, because it's been a place that has freedom of religion, a place where people have been free to preach the gospel and to reach people with the gospel and to spread it around the world. And he doesn't like that. I also know from Bible prophecy, or I believe I should say from Bible prophecy, that America will eventually cease to be the most powerful country in the world. I hate to say that. I mean, I consider myself a patriotic citizen, served the United States Air Force, and I believe in the ideals and principles of our country. But at the same time, I just don't see America as being a major player in Bible prophecy. I think you can make a case for it being here and there. And so all of this can be happening to God, allowing it to eventually bring down the United States in some way. I kind of, my hope, I guess, is that, and it's a selfish hope, I guess, is that when God catches away the believers prior to the tribulation, that will be what causes the downfall of America, with key people throughout government being removed and the chaos of our society. And say at the same time, the North Koreans and or the Iranians, with help possibly from the Chinese, conduct an attack on our infrastructure, our electromagnetic pulse attack, or take out some key nodes in the grid, the power grid, you could see where America could be thrown into chaos and confusion. And if the rapture occurred at that time, you know, it could just devastate this country. But again, that's some of my speculation along with that, Grace. And
let me ask you one more thing.
Yes.
They will not impeach him, would they? I hope that they don't try to impeach him. I hope that this thing closes out before that even come to that.
Yeah, well, the present makeup of the House, with all Republican majority, I would not see them impeaching him, because they'd have to get a majority in the House, you know, first off, to start the impeachment process, and then secondly, they'd have to get a majority in the House to actually impeach him. So that's why they hope to just... They just want to taint him enough and try to keep him from being effective, so that the Democrats can take the House, and then there's a chance that they might be successful in starting impeachment proceedings and actually impeaching President Trump.
Well, thank you so very much. We really need to keep praying so that this does not happen.
Oh, absolutely, Grace. I agree with you 100% on that. We need to keep praying. I believe it's the prayers of God's people that kept Hillary Clinton from getting into office, and it's the prayers of God's people that interrupted the left's plans to take out this country and keep it from being a force for good. And so, you know, it's if we stop praying, then we could see things get rapidly worse.
So. Well, thank you so much for answering my question tonight. I thoroughly enjoy your program.
Well, thank you, Grace. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the call. I mean, you know, we kind of overlap with some secular topics from time to time, but we try to interpret them in light of God's Word, and that's exactly what we try to do. So thank you so much.
Once again, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Hope you call back. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And there's a couple of places, and I mentioned with our caller there that I believe that eventually the United States is going to cease to be the preeminent world power that it is today. And one of the areas that I see the United States in Bible prophecy, but not as one of the main actors, is in Ezekiel chapter 38. And let me turn over there. While I'm turning there, on our website, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, there's a book I wrote a few years ago, it's about 4 or 5 years ago now, I guess, called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. And in it, I spend some time looking at the players in Ezekiel chapter 38. And in Ezekiel chapter 38, we have the group that's aligned to attack Israel, to invade Israel, and of course it's led by Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I believe that I just got a few minutes before we come to the break, so let me just go through this real quick. I believe that could be a case could be made that that's Russia and Ukraine and some of those areas like that, Central Asia, Eastern Europe there. And then it also mentions Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them. Persia, of course, would be Iran. Ethiopia would be below where about the Aswan Dam is on the Nile River, down in Africa that way, would have all, of course, that's Ethiopia, Sudan, and Chad, and Djibouti, and places like that today, but that would have been Ethiopia. And then Libya would have been west of Egypt, and that would, of course, include Libya, as well as Morocco and Tunisia, and places like that. And it's interesting, we can see these coming together against Israel, lining up in many areas. Then it has Gomer and Togarma, which is interesting. Many people identified Togarma with Turkey and Gomer with possibly getting into Germany and areas like that. And we see the Muslim quote-unquote refugees taking over Germany more and more. It seems like Germany's Angela Merkel's on a suicide mission there in Germany. I kind of wonder sometimes, she came out of the old East German communist government system, but it seems like they're trying to destroy Germany, turn into an Islamic state. It seems they're heading that direction. And of course, the bands thereof of Targama, or Targama and his bands, I'd speculated that could include the Balkans, and got word from a missionary that I know in Albania about how people from Turkey are flooding into Albania, starting mosques and things and preaching jihad and such not. But these are the ones going in, and then there's those that oppose them, and it's in Ezekiel 38, verse 13, Sheba indeed and the merchants of Tarshish, all the young lions thereof. And I'm not going to spend too much time on all of these, but Sheba indeed, and possibly Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, the merchants of Tarshish, Again, I don't have time to get into it this half hour, but probably some of the areas such as Spain, Portugal, France, and Great Britain in particular, and that's where the merchants of Tarshish had established colonies to mine tin and bring it back to the Middle East under King David and King Solomon in particular. They worked with King Hiram, the Phoenician king, and they were going up into that area, and they had a colony which was a merchant trading spot in Tarshish, which would have been on the Atlantic side of Spain. And the young lions thereof suggest to me the offspring of these countries. Well, what offspring of those countries would we be talking about? Well, those countries are the ones who established the United States, Canada, and some of the countries here in the New World. So that's where I would say United States could possibly come in as one of the young lions thereof, offspring of the merchants of Tarshish. But the interesting thing is, they don't really do anything here. They just make an objection. They say, hast thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? They really don't do anything. They just object. And, you know, it sounds like what happens in a lot of cases in the UN anymore. They don't really do anything. They just make speeches. But that's one area that I believe the United States can be made a case. But you notice it's not a major player. And that suggests to me that something potentially catastrophic could happen in the United States. And if you've done any looking into electromagnetic pulse attacks or attacks on our electric, our power grid, our electric infrastructure, some estimates with electromagnetic pulse attack, 90% of Americans would be dead within a year. And that's serious business. But stay tuned, though. We're going to hopefully look at some more positive things.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you.
But now, let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, too, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also go to our Facebook page. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And let's see, what else I wanted to mention here? Certainly mention we're brought to you tonight by our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit us there. You can find out more information. Just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And if you're in Northeast Ohio in the Cleveland area, I encourage you to check out East Coast Pizza, located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. They are located right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live at Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also mention talking about East Coast Pizza, even if you're not in the area, perhaps you're looking at starting a pizza shop, or you got a restaurant, you want to add a great pizza recipe, and pizza really is good, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started. It's his own recipe. It's not a franchise. He can help you get started in your own pizza business. And that's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program. Our toll-free line, 888-677-9673, and we have Marilyn waiting for us. And Marilyn, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
Fine. I wanted to comment about our Christian president, Mr. Trump. He's not battling against the Democratic Party. He's battling against direct evil.
Oh, yeah.
I strongly believe that evil has taken over the Democratic Party itself. And also, when Obama was president, he was in the same category. I saw evil connected with Mr. Obama. I just have to come out and say it. Everything that he did was to bring this country down. And you could directly see it. He did nothing but bring America down.
Well, and we know that we are in a spiritual battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the Bible talks about that.
Now, I pray for Mr. Trump every night, and the Lord sets up kings and he takes down kings, and he gave us a Christian president. If we ever end up with another Democratic president, this country is done for.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of people who would echo what you said, because we see the way the country was going, and the crackdown against Christians in this country. And for those of you who can remember back during the Bill Clinton presidency, there was a lot of that going on back then. Now, there were some things that did happen that were good during that time, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, but he was kind of pushed into signing that, and a lot of that had to do with, remember Newt Gingrich and the contract with America when they took over the House, and President Clinton was kind of forced into conciliation on some things. But by the time we got to President Obama, there was no conciliation on anything. He had nothing to do with anybody on you know, in the Republican Party. You know, he didn't want anything to do with them. But Ephesians chapter 6, and I was looking for this earlier and I kept going by it, but this is what people need to remember, and you brought this up, Marilyn, I think very well. He says right here, in Ephesians chapter 6, I want to start in verse 10 and just read this. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And when you have a party that celebrates the wholesale slaughter of unborn children, right? You know, of the two political parties, which one is it that celebrates the slaughter of unborn children? Well, it's not the Republicans.
Party.
Yeah. Here in northeastern Ohio, we had a politician by the name of Dennis Kucinich. He was perennial presidential candidate, but he started out one time as mayor of Cleveland, and he was one time pro-life. And when he started going into national politics, in order to run for president as a Democrat, he actually switched from pro-life to pro-death. Can you imagine that? I mean, isn't that an example of spiritual wickedness in high places? You know, it's a spirit of death that is there, that is celebrated. And
I agree. I also have... I'm not going to try to cut you short, but mm-hmm. you probably have other callers. I want to ask you a question about the seven thunders.
Yes.
In Revelation 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says the seven thunders spoke, and I was about to write, and a voice from heaven said, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." Does the seven thunders have anything to do with the seven plagues and the seven bowls of God's wrath by any chance?
Well, the seven thunders, they come in when you look in the book of Revelation. The first thing that happens is there's a seven-sealed book that's opened, okay? And this starts at the beginning of the tribulation, and the first seal, I believe, is the revelation of the Antichrist. That would be in chapter 6, verse 2. But as you go through these seals, we come down to the seventh seal, and when the seventh seal is open in Revelation chapter 8, it says there's silence in heaven for the space of about half an hour in verse 1. And then in verse 2, it says, "And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them was given seven trumpets." So now these seven seals have taken place, a series of things, and some of them quite catastrophic, have occurred on earth at this time. Now the seven angels begin to sound their trumpets. And as the angels sound their trumpets, a series of... again, terrible, catastrophic events. This is judgment being poured out on the world that's rejected God. When we get down to, I believe it's the sixth angel sounding. Let me see here in Revelation chapter 9, verse number 14. The sixth angel sounds, and I think it's there before the seventh angel sounds. I was trying to see here, the seventh angel, where do they sound at? It's, excuse me, I'm just not seeing it right there. Okay, the seventh angel sounds in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15. So after the sixth angel sounds his trumpet, and these events begin taking place, and prior to the seventh angel sounding its trumpet is when these seven thunders in chapter 10 occur. And as you said, he was about to write those things down, and he's instructed to seal them up, not to write down what they meant. So we do not know what they meant. People who are living through the events of the tribulation will not only know what they are, but they'll experience it. They'll be going through that. And then when the seventh angel sounds, it's after that that we have the next seven angels come forward that have the seven vials that they pour out on the earth, and a series of events, and some of these events are plagues, some of these events are catastrophic disasters, such as meteors striking the earth, earthquakes, and some are wars, and some are famines, and these things carry through all, but they're all distinct. So whatever the 10 thunders represent, they occur prior to the vial judgments, near the conclusion of the trumpet judgments, but before the last one. So, yeah, so that gives us the timing of it. So they may be similar to some of the previous judgments, but they're different.
The true church is raptured out.
Oh, yes, we're not there at that time.
I have no idea what it's going to be. The tribulation people will find out.
Correct. And part of that is because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it is, it says we're not talking about believers, we're not appointed under wrath, and elsewhere the tribulation is described as God's wrath. And this is a discussion we had our Friday night Bible study. Christians, it doesn't mean Christians aren't going to endure troublesome times or persecution or anything like that. It's just that we're not going to endure the wrath of God, which is what specifically is taking place during the 7-year tribulation period. That's not for us, because we've put our faith in Christ and we're delivered from the wrath of God. It doesn't mean that we won't go through, the wrath of the devil or the wrath of unsaved people. It doesn't mean, because, think back in time, millions of Christians down through the years have been tortured and killed by false believers and things of that nature, and they're still being killed today. They're undergoing tremendous persecution in some places.
Al,
yes.
That's why Mr. Trump is going through what he's going through.
Exactly.
Because he's dealing with the devil and his minions.
Exactly.
And you pray for him every day. And, I keep looking up every day. I know the Lord is returning soon.
Absolutely.
And he's going to be right on time. But Mr. Trump has his work cut out for him, and it's up to every Christian to pray for our president.
Exactly. And it is kind of interesting, because remember Daniel, I mentioned Daniel previously in the program. Daniel had a vision where for 3 weeks he did not get an answer to the vision. And finally, I'm just summing this up real quick in Daniel chapter 10. And finally, there's an angel that comes and gives him the interpretation of his dream. And he tells Daniel that the very day that Daniel began to fast and pray for an answer, he was dispatched, but he was withheld for 3 weeks, and he was withheld. Let's see here. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, they said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Now, he's not talking about an earthly king here. He's talking about a demonic power. A powerful fallen angel fought against him and withstood him for 3 weeks. And he says, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes," that's Michael the archangel, "came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And then he tells Daniel afterwards that he's going to return to fight again with these fallen angels. And that's the powers and principalities that Paul warned about there in Ephesians that we were talking about. And it hasn't stopped. There are princes, there's powers and principalities in the spiritual realm that are trying to use people and direct people to destroy this country. And we fight.
Right. I believe that's what Obama's mission was all about.
Well, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's prayer. It's prayer and faith.
The hand of God already came down on the Democrats when Mr. Trump became our 45th president.
And it was a defeat, like I said previously. Nobody expected it.
It was a defeat that they just can't get over.
Exactly, and that's part of what's going on. Yeah.
Well, you have a nice night, Pastor Al, and thank you again for answering all my questions.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. I appreciate the call tonight. And
thanks
again. Hope to hear from you again. So
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Linda calling in tonight. And Linda, welcome to the program this evening.
Yes, Pastor.
Hi.
I would like to know what the Bible means when it talks about crucifying the flesh.
All right. Yeah, there's a little bit of that going on in the book of Romans, for instance. And I'm trying to think of a particular passage here. I'll find it here in 1 Corinthians, I hope, in a minute. But let me go back to Romans here for just a minute. I've actually been in our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I've been preaching through the book of Romans on Sunday mornings. And we were going through several things here. Let me see if I can find, getting back a little further where we were at. The Bible talks a lot about the battle that we're in and talking about the flesh dying. Let's check in here in Romans chapter 6 here, I think, where he starts out in Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, baptism, the word baptize, and you know the Greek word that we get baptize and the variants from, means literally to be immersed within. And you know, to be overwhelmed with it, something to be whelmed in, over, covered over, and in, you know, totally immersed within, and so when he says we were baptized, it means literally we entered into Jesus Christ's death. And he says in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then he continues saying, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this in verse 6, that our old man, and here he says this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, my flesh is still very much alive, and Paul talks about that in chapter 7, you know, doing things that he knows that he shouldn't do, not doing things that he knows that he should do. And part of that is because the sin nature that's in this flesh, but we have to recognize that our old man, our sin nature was crucified with Christ. It was nailed to the cross. Now, spiritually speaking, it was, but we still walk around in this body of flesh until we get that new body that God's promised us that has no sin nature. So we need to reckon ourselves to be dead, that our flesh, that our old self was crucified. Our sin went to the cross with Christ. And so that's where he says there in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says this in verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Now, that didn't mean every day he committed suicide or was murdered. What he was saying is every day, literally, he was reckoning the flesh to be dead. You know, Jesus died on the cross. He's reckoning his old self, like he wrote in Romans chapter 6, to be crucified with him. And and this becomes important because, you know, we have the sin nature that's in our flesh, and if we do not try to resist the flesh, you know, it's more than willing to take us captive in the sense, as he writes in Romans chapter 7, in bringing us into sinful practices. And that's what he says in Romans chapter 7. I don't really have time to read through it, but I encourage people to start reading Romans 7, starting about verse 15 down through the end of the chapter there. But he says this in verse number 20, now if I do that I would not, is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. See, that's the new creature in Christ. Remember when we get saved, our spirit that's dead to God is made alive in Christ, and God through his spirit can speak to our spirit bear witness to our spirit, and we delight after the law of of God or in the law of God after the inward man. But then he says, I see another law in my members. He's talking about the flesh there, warring against the law of my mind. And the flesh, of course, where the sin nature dwells. And if we don't keep the flesh under control, that's what Paul meant by saying, I die daily. That's what he meant by talking about recognizing that our flesh was literally, was spiritually nailed to the cross with him. We crucify the old man saying, listen, that flesh is dead, it's defeated. I mean, we're still with it. You know, they win a war, but there's still mop-up battles going on with the enemy. And even though the war is won, there's still battles that are fought because the enemy doesn't always give up easily. And so the flesh doesn't give up easily. And I tell people to picture it this way. If you remember the old cartoons where you had the little cartoon character being tempted to do something and a little angel version of the character pops up on one shoulder saying, no, you know you shouldn't do that. That wouldn't be right. And a little angel or a little devil character pops up on the other shoulder saying, oh, you know you want to do it. Go ahead and do it. And they argue back and forth trying to sway him, the character, one way or the other, either to resist or to fall prey to the temptation. And that's what Paul's writing here. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. In the mind, the soul, where he's going to make the decision. Am I going to fall prey to the lust of the flesh? If I'm tempted, and I have to say, listen, my flesh is dead. It's crucified. I'm dead to the flesh. It was nailed. That sin nature was nailed to the cross. I'm going to resist it, and I'm going to listen to the Spirit that's drawing me towards Christ. Then we can be successful in resisting that temptation. But oftentimes, we allow the flesh to get the upper hand, and we're taken captive, he says there, to the sin which is in my members. And that's why he says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. We make that choice in your soul, your will. You make a choice, a choice of will. I will serve God. The flesh is dead to me. It's the Spirit that's alive to me. I'm going to serve God, the law of God. But with the flesh, unfortunately, sometimes we are serving the law of sin because sometimes we succumb to the flesh. And it's a battle. It's a challenge that every believer goes through. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. Because on a daily basis, he had to reckon that the flesh was dead, that it was crucified, because otherwise it would get the power over him. One day, when the Lord catches us up to be with heaven, the Bible says this mortal puts on immortality, this corruptible puts on incorruption in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll be freed from that sin nature. But in the meanwhile, we're stuck with it while we're in this Bible. We're saved from the penalty of sin when we trust Christ as our Savior immediately, but we're still in the presence of sin because of the body of this flesh with the sin nature in it. And hopefully, Linda, that kind of answered or hit on your question there.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Linda, for asking about that, because, you know, this chapter in Romans chapter 7 in particular, I encourage people to read that and take the time, go through the last half of that chapter slowly, sort it out, understand what's going on, and you'll understand the difficulty that you have as a believer trying to serve God, finding yourself doing things that you know that you shouldn't do and not doing things that you know that you should do, and then saying, why'd that happen? Well, that's why we need to crucify the flesh daily. But we can do it through Christ if you know him as your Savior. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.